The following is a paid commercial program from the Ulster County Department of Health. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly talk show exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is a community affairs presentation of the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health.
Welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio. I am your host, Dr. Carol Smith, Commissioner of Health for Ulster County. With me today is my co-host, Vin Martello, our Director of Community Health Relations. Hello, Vin.
Hi, Dr. Smith. How are you this morning?
Hi, thank you.
Dr. Smith, today we are going to talk about the boldest climate agenda in New York State. And we are very fortunate to have the person who authored it and who ordered it. And she is our very own County Executive, Jen Metzger. Jen was elected as Ulster County's third county executive in November 2022 and serves as the first elected woman Ulster County executive. She is an Ulster County resident for 21 years with extensive experience in local and state government, international affairs, and community advocacy. Jen believes in thinking globally and acting locally and leverages hard work, a collaborative spirit, and a patient solutions-oriented approach to build opportunities and overcome challenges for Ulster County residents and businesses. Welcome, County Executive.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you both for having me on the program.
We're delighted to have you, Jen. Jen, can you provide our listeners with a brief overview of the executive order, what it means for addressing issues brought on by the climate crisis and why it's necessary?
Yeah, sure. So I'll just start out with some context. When I served in the state Senate, one of my top priorities was to get the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act passed. And I worked very hard on that law and pushed really hard to get it passed, which we did in 2019. And it is the strongest climate law in the country. And it's also a really distinguishing feature of it is it's also the most equitable climate law in the country. It really focuses on making sure that no one is left behind in the clean energy transition and that we're addressing environmental injustices as we're reducing our impact on climate. And so that we passed that law in 2019. And that law created a climate action council at the state level to develop what's called the scoping plan, which is really an implementation plan for how we meet the aggressive greenhouse gas emission reduction targets. They're really mandates. They're not targets. They're requirements and equity requirements of the law. And that scoping plan was approved in December 2022 and at the state level. And it's I was on a speaking tour of the scoping plan, just really trying to educate communities on what was in it, what is in it. And as county executive, what I wanted to do was make sure that our county climate policies and goals are aligned with that scoping plan. And so that is what I set out to do in this executive order. It has 13 directives. It is an executive order, which means, I can only touch on those things over which I have authority as a county executive. There are many things that require, of course, legislative action because they are, the co-equal branch responsible for policy. But there is a lot that we can do on the county side. County government side, most of these directives focus on county government facilities, buildings, and operations, most but not all. First and foremost, it aligns our greenhouse gas emission reduction goals with the states, with the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act. That's to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 40% by 2030, less than 8 years from now, and to reduce emissions by 85% by 2050 and achieve net zero emissions, like we can talk about what that means, by that same year, and also sets that as a goal for not just government operations, but countywide. The executive order sets that as a goal. And another important goal, we already had set a very ambitious target as a county to endeavor to meet 100% of our electricity needs from local renewable resources to the extent possible by 2030, which is 10 years ahead of the climate law. So that's quite ambitious. The executive order specifies that we're to assess every county building and facility for on-site solar, as well as battery backup, so that we can be not just reduce our emissions, but also be resilient to power outages and the impacts of climate change. And it sets out a variety of requirements around making sure that we're reducing emissions from buildings. Buildings are the largest source of greenhouse gas emissions in New York State, and transportation, electrifying our fleet, and also really beefing up our public transit system, UCAT, and fully electrifying that fleet. And that's not just about climate. That's about also giving people access to jobs and education and healthcare for those who don't have a car. It's very important in its own right. And then we want to make sure that we are meeting all of these goals equitably, and we'll be I really am excited to kind of develop a new role for the county in providing, clean energy services, which essentially being a connector of for our residents and small businesses with ways that they can become more energy efficient, reduce their energy use, adopt clean energy technologies. There is a ton of new funding that is becoming available at the federal level through the Inflation Reduction Act. But we want to make sure that our communities can access that funding. So it's going to be important to really help play a facilitating role in that. That's sort of it in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, Jen, In the past, there's been this dichotomy between environmental integrity and climate versus business and economic development opportunity. That's long been cast by the wayside, right? Tell us about how this creates a whole new world of opportunity for residents and businesses.
Sure. Well, it's very exciting, actually. I mean, there is an analysis done at the state level of the number of jobs that would be created and the net increase in jobs that in New York State that would result from if we stay on target to meet our energy reduction our energy reduction requirements, we are projected to see a net increase. Okay, so that's after any jobs we've may have lost in the fossil fuel sector, a net increase of almost 180,000 jobs by 2030 and almost 270,000 jobs by 2050 statewide. And, that's tens of thousands of jobs in the very, very near term, potentially in Ulster County. We want to and that's just to meet the goals of New York State's climate law. Now, at the federal level, we've seen massive transformative legislation pass: the Inflation Reduction Act, the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, the CHIPS for America Act. All of these acts all of this legislation is really investing just billions and billions of dollars into the U.S. economy to help shift us to a resilient clean energy economy. And there's a real focus on domestic manufacturing. So bringing domestic manufacturing back to our country, which is something, we once had a lead in clean energy industries. We lost it because we just, as a country, really just weren't, we fell behind in our own policies on clean energy. So this is really seeking to regain that. I see a huge opportunity for Ulster County to capture a large share of those jobs. And we're seeing this at iPark, the former site of the IBM complex. It's very symbolic, you know, just like, you know, basically that that huge kind of ghost town of an industrial complex that's been sitting there for decades. We're going to see it really transformed into a green economy hub. And two battery storage companies are coming. There are a number of companies that are interested in coming. One of my big priorities is to create a workforce innovation center at the site so that we can really create a pipeline of qualified workers into those jobs. And if we have the qualified workforce, that's going to attract even more investments and we'll capture even a greater share of those well-paying family-sustaining jobs in Ulster County. So, you know, it's a huge opportunity. First movers win. And we're going to prepare our workforce and, capture a big source of those jobs.
And that's really terrific. I mean, and these are high value jobs as well that families can really thrive on. And, you know, it's really terrific that, you know, that you're building in a mechanism for training and for bringing people into those opportunities that may not have had them before. So, Jen, we want to hear a whole lot more about this amazing, exciting topic. But first, we're going to take a very short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. We'll be back after these words.
Westchester Medical Center Health Network's new Health Alliance Hospital is open in Kingston at 105 Mary's Avenue. The new hospital delivers on WMC Health's commitment to provide access to advanced healthcare right here in this community. Our comfortable and welcoming new Health Alliance Hospital has highly skilled doctors, nurses, and staff. We are ready to make your healthcare experience the best it can be. Here are just a few of the services ready to take care of you and your loved ones when you need us. A new emergency department with 24/7 triage for behavioral health needs. Life-saving advanced cardiology programs, family birth center, private rooms, precise imaging technology, critical care support. And later this year, our inpatient psychiatry program will be reestablished to complement existing emergency and outpatient programs. Go to hahv.org for information. That's hahv.org.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. This is a weekly presentation of the Ulster County Department of Health on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
Welcome back. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Our special guest today is Jen Metzger, our Ulster County Executive. County Executive, before the break, we began talking about conversion of some old manufacturing sites and whatnot to green energy type jobs and businesses. And while you were speaking, I was thinking of our children, our young people coming up through the school systems in Ulster County who are considering the challenges that's ahead of them, perhaps, regarding the climate issues and perhaps how they can better educate themselves or even enter the workforce in a way that allow them to tailor their careers toward green energy jobs or toward the overall concern of bettering and preserving the environment. Would you like to speak a little bit more to that?
Sure. So I think that, you know, our K-12 education system has a huge role to play in, first of all, just providing a really basic, you know, basic education on climate change, the science of climate change, and, you know, sort of the issue in its economic and social and health dimensions. And also, yes, like preparing and inspiring our young people to consider, careers, green economy careers, because that is without a doubt the highest growth sector of our economy in the coming years. And there's a huge range of potential jobs. You know, I mean, there are, first of all, it does create a ton of trades jobs. But, you know, also, you know, architects and designers and, you know, even in, you know, public health and, you know, legal professions, communications. I mean, it really touches all kinds of careers. So I think the schools have a very big role to play. And I had met with the school superintendents last week in Ulster County and spoke with them about the Workforce Innovation Center and how, you know, we would really hope once we stand that center up, that we can really start encouraging kids to be thinking about taking advantage of that asset here in our county. And I'm meeting tomorrow with the school boards and we'll talk with them about it as well. I am the mother of three, well, they're now young adults, two 19-year-olds and a 22-year-old. And I also, you know, have just worked a lot with high school age kids when I was in the Senate. And in my climate advocacy work. And, you know, this is a generation that is, you know, extremely concerned, obviously, about the climate to the point of having many have a lot of anxiety about it. It can feel overwhelming. Getting involved and getting involved in climate solutions can really dispel that anxiety and channel all of that concern productively into, you know, changing things. And I think that our young people will be really responsive to those opportunities if they are made aware of them. So this is something I'm hoping to do a lot more outreach to schools directly. I would love to see the county play this role. I have this idea of creating youth climate ambassadors in all the different school districts that they can work on climate policies for their own schools and sustainability policies for their own schools, but also to engage directly with, in their communities, with their neighbors, with their parents, with their, just in their neighborhoods, to, you know, talk with people about their homes, their energy use, ways that they can, reduce their energy use or access all of the wealth of state and federal assistance that's available to make improvements in their homes and that kind of thing. And I think that, you know, people love hearing from young people. They listen to them. There was actually a very interesting study done that showed that the change was greatest, was clearest among adults who leaned very conservative on the political spectrum, but their kids, they listened to their kids about climate. Like, their views weren't changed by any other sources of information, but when it came from their own kids, they heard it, they listened to it, and they were more likely to change their views on it. So, you know, they're really important messengers when it comes to this issue, because they're the ones inheriting the earth and everything that we do or don't do to preserve it.
My daughter was certainly one of those kids and, you know, an early participant in climate extinction rebellion.
Absolutely.
And mine as well. So that was very well said. Thank you.
So, Jen, we talked about making county facilities more energy efficient and using more renewable clean energy. We talked about job and economic opportunities and opportunities for youth to get engaged. What about some of the health benefits of reducing emissions? And Dr. Smith, I know you can speak to this as well.
Yeah, I always talk about, even if you don't care about climate, there are all these other really good reasons to move away from fossil fuels and reduce our dependence on them and move. And it's not just about actually switching to clean energy technologies. It's about, you know, also maybe riding our bikes to places that we think always drive, or walking, if that's, it's not always possible, depending on where you live in rural Ulster County. But there are huge health benefits to shifting to a more sustainable clean energy economy. Fossil fuels, the combustion of fossil fuels, we've known this for a long time. There is plenty of data to support it. That combustion, leads to a lot of harmful emissions of pollutants that cause asthma, heart disease, forms of cancer. There has been a lot of recent focus on gas stoves, because this is like we're combusting fossil fuels in our kitchens, and it's estimated that it could account for, there was a study last year estimated that it could account for as much as 13% of childhood asthma cases. But it emits in our homes, nitrogen dioxide, benzene, formaldehyde, like all these things we know are bad for us. And it's now getting some real attention. And I know houses like mine, it's an old house, doesn't have a vent. You kind of have to rely. It is like a sieve in other ways. but I mean, it's like, no kitchen vents, and you have an old stove that is not even having complete combustion. That is very bad for your health. So there are reasons to move away from these technologies, both indoor and outdoor air quality. And the impacts are disproportionate. Low-income communities, Black and Brown communities, disproportionately suffer from asthma and all of these other diseases, and it's directly related to their local air quality, both indoor and outdoor. But they are, these communities are often adjacent to polluting fossil fuel infrastructure, bus depots, congested, major highways, and that kind of thing. So, it's an environmental justice issue as well.
Mm-hmm. And also added on to that is the natural disasters that are being created by climate change. I mean, billions and billions of dollars here and around the world, property damage, not to mention the fact that the a good many cities around the world are at or below sea level, including southern Manhattan.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
There's a lot of risk built in.
Yeah, the Hudson River is, projected to rise as much as 4 feet in the next 60 years. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. So, yeah. but there's also, more and more extreme heat days. And again, that is also an environmental justice issue, because people who live in places without air conditioning and the like, are more vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. So, Jen, I know that there are plans to gain public participation and input on the drawing board, right, as part of your executive order. Could you just quickly mention that? And then I want to go to where people can get in touch with you, because we only have about a minute, a little under a minute left.
Sure. So one of the directives of my executive order is for us to create a public engagement plan by the end of this year to really, engage all of our communities in efforts to reduce our emissions and our energy costs in the process and the like. And so we're going to be doing a lot of public outreach and engagement, community meetings and the like. But that's down the road. We're developing that plan. If people, have ideas or just suggestions, want to contact us, feel free to email me at exec at co.ulster.ny.us.
US.
I'm still only been 2 months in this job. Well,
you're doing really well. So, Jen, thank you so much for
all of your
work, past and present and future to come. It's really exciting, and we're delighted
to
have you.
Thank you for all your work. Yes. I appreciate it, and have a great day.
You too. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show from the Ulster County Department of Health. This program is a weekly community affairs presentation sponsored by the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next weekend.